Isn't it amazing that God gives us joy? One of the first things that you experience if you come to Christ, and if you look at someone that committed their lives to God or got saved, or, you know, God stepped into their lives, is the first thing that you notice is just the joy. It's just there. It doesn't, you know, there's no logical reason. It's just something God stirs that you just become joyful. Is it just me, or is it, do you guys agree? I'm just seeing blank faces here. Okay? You can just tell your faces that there's joy. God gives you joy, you know, when we come to Him. So, you know, it's amazing that if you look at people, when they come to God, they receive that joy, they live in that joy, and everything suddenly is exciting. Now, how sad is it that we sometimes lose that in our Christian walks? Isn't that sad? And I believe that God wants to restore that tonight. Just the joy of our salvation, because He wants to. You know, and that's exactly what Jesus talks about when He says He brings life, life in abundance. Life to the full. That thing that He gave you when you got saved. The joy of our salvation. He wants us to return to that place. Wherever we go, whatever circumstances come against us, that joy remains. Because you know what? You know, this world talks about being happy. You know, and, you know, God doesn't promise happiness, but He promises joy. Because happiness comes from a happening, but joy doesn't depend on circumstances. Joy is on the inside. It doesn't change. It's not movable. It's there because God has given it to you. All right. Can I get any amens in the house? Great. Okay. Tonight we're going to talk about exactly that. We're going to talk about the joy of the harvest. We're going to look at the vision that God has given us, and it's going to make sense at the end. We're going to talk about the harvest. The harvest is lying ahead. That God promised. Jesus says, "Don't pray, you know, for the harvest, but pray for harvesters." That's exactly where we are as a church today. So we must pray for the harvesters because there's a massive harvest on the way, and the joy, and there's a joy in that. There's excitement because something is lying ahead. That God is doing, and we're going to come back to that just now. So we're going to talk about the vision, and the vision that God has given us. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, my people perish." Okay? It says, where there's no vision, where there's a lack of vision, God's people perish. I love the way the two translations, the New Living and the Message says it in the contemporary language. It says, in the New Living translation, it says, "When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the Lord is joyful." Okay, there you see the joy. Okay? The Message says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Now, isn't that true? If you cannot see the hand of God in your life, you're always going to stumble. You're always going to struggle. You know, but those that see the hand of God, they won't. And when they attend to what God reveals, this vision that God gives, when they attend to this, they are most blessed. Okay, who wants to be blessed? Okay, who wants to be most blessed? Okay, you attend to the vision, the divine revelation and vision that God has given. And God has given us a vision, a shofar. We're going to look at it just now. Before we do that, I read from 2 John 8. It says, "Look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." Okay, so it talks about a reward. And sometimes as Christians we think, you know, it's bad. You mustn't think about the reward. You must just do it, and no, that's not biblical. God wants to give us a reward. You know, that's His desire. And if you look, there's many promises in Scripture where it says, if you do this, there's a reward. Okay, and that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly from God. And there's a reward for our labors, for the work of our hands. But interestingly, it says there, a full reward. Now, John Bevere writes a book, some of you might have read it, on his reward. And he says that there's a couple of scenarios, you know, and we're talking about someone that has been obedient to God and done work in the kingdom. There's three situations. You can either, Either have done the work and receive no reward, or you can receive a partial reward, or you can receive a full reward. Okay, so there's options. So you can actually be obedient to God and miss the reward. Did you know that? Okay? But that's the truth. You can miss the reward that God has given us, and given you. Tonight, as I said, we're going to look at the big picture that God has given us, and the vision that God has given us, and it's actually a massive vision. The vision that He has given us. Who knows what the vision of Shofar is? I'm hearing some whispers here and there. Stefani wants to answer. Not. Don't you know Stefani? Yes, continue. And? Okay, she's right. Give her a hand. That was wonderful, Stefani. Okay, now, who knows what the core values are? Okay, we're not going to answer that. Who knows what the core values are? Megan. What about those things? No, it's right. Okay, you don't know the rest. Okay, that's your homework. Okay, to go and check out the core values. We're not going to talk about that tonight, but we're going to talk about the vision. Now, if you agree with me, this is a massive vision. This is quite big. And this is the vision, the divine revelation that God has given to us as Shofar. The reason why I'm asking you to recite it is because this is your vision as well. You must make this vision your own. You know, and whatever you do in a church context, and even what you do, you know, in terms of your studies, in terms of your work, this is the vision that God has given us as a family. You know, to reach nations and generations. We're going to look at it a bit. But whatever we do as part of this church, whether, you know, Duncan and his team's going to Tanzania, that's their vision. Glad you guys are getting excited because you're going to reach that nation. You know, and those generations. And that's how we should go about these things. So we're going to look at the vision God has given us. That's all we're going to look at tonight. But the first part of it is nations. Okay, so yes, we go on missions. And that's reaching the nations. That's going into the world. It's part of the commission. And by the way, the vision that God has given us is simply an interpretation of the Great Commission. I don't know if you've noticed that. Any church's vision should just be an interpretation of the Great Commission that Jesus Christ has given us. That is our interpretation. This is our interpretation. So nations, it's about missions, but it's so much more about missions. It's not just the missions. It's about being open to the thing that God wants to do, where He wants to add to His family. And Galatians 3 verse 27 says, the writer of Galatians says, there's neither Jew nor Greek in the kingdom of God. There's neither male nor female. There's neither slave nor free. But all are one and all are united in Jesus Christ. And then Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Those of you that were at the missions training will recognize some of the things I'm saying here. We had a missions training on Tuesday. We spoke about cross-cultural ministry. But Acts chapter 17 verse 26 says that we have all been made of one blood. Okay, that word for blood is the Hebrew word a'ima, which means literally the blood of animals or the blood of men. But specifically it means it's the atoning blood of Christ. Okay, so we've all been made of one blood. Okay, in other words, there's one commonality that we have, and that is the blood of Christ. Not culture, not our specific interests or groups, but Jesus Christ. He's the center of our relationship. He's the center of who we are in church. Alright, is there any agreement on that? Great. Great to see you excited. I want to quickly see who's from a different nation other than South Africa. Just put your hands high. Okay, quite a few. Isn't that amazing? Okay, that is the kingdom. That is a picture of the church. Because you know what? Every nation has got something to add to God's glory. God has placed in every person, every tribe and tongue, He's placed something unique that represents Him to this world. That's why it's amazing when God brings together a whole family of people that are different, come from different places, different upbringings, different places. You know, and yeah, I'm very excited about this. It's exciting. But there's something so beautiful, and if you go to different nations, if you go to India, who's been to India? Put up your hands. Indian people do things completely different than we do in South Africa. They do things, whatever we do this side, here, they do it completely the other way. It's just, I don't know why, but it just happens like that. But there's something really amazing about Indian people is they've got this amazing gift of hospitality. If you come there, they bless you, they serve you the whole day long. They give you everything. They might be as poor as, you know, they'll give you everything that they've got. You know, those on missions, you can testify of this. They just bless you. And that's just a beautiful thing that God has given them. And if you go to Congo, where's the Congolese in the house? Where's Stefan, are you Congolese now? It's great to see. But just ask Matthew. In Congo, they've got a beautiful culture of honoring. If you come to Congo and you preach in a church, they honor you. They bless you. They, you know, carry you on their hands. And it's amazing when it happens because, you know, when you go to Congo, you see miracles that happen that you don't normally see. But just because of this simple principle, they understand what it means to receive someone. You know, and Jesus said, if you receive someone, there's a reward. Once again, that reward thing. You know, and for us as a church, it's a place where we receive everyone. We don't just receive people that are the same as us, that look the same, sound the same, does the same things, but we're open to everyone. Because our commonality is Christ. And that's what it means to reach nations. To be open to the thing that God has. And when we do that, there's something amazing that happens. We see the glory of God revealed through us. And I don't know about you, but that's quite radical. I haven't seen many churches that get this right. In fact, I can't mention one that really get this right, that embraces the fact that nations should come to God. And that commonality around only one single thing, and that's the blood of Jesus. The second thing of part of our vision is to reach generations. Okay, so we're not here just to reach youth or to reach students, to reach families. We're here to reach every generation. From the youngest to the oldest, God has given. And I want you to think of yourself in that way, in that you're not just going to reach out to your peers, you know, but you're gonna see people differently. If someone's, you know, mother, father, we look to people because God looks to them and he desires for them to come and to receive all of His glory. And the amazing thing is, you know, Malachi says, he prophesies, he says, in the last days, God will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the fathers. So that speaks about generations being unified and coming together. And it's so exciting for us to be as a church at a place where we've started with a morning service so that we can receive the generations. So that the older people can come in and feel welcome and feel a part of what God is doing. Because God is moving. And one of the things that we wanting to do at the end of the year, Stellenbosch is going to do it, and we're hoping to do the same. But we're hoping to do parents or father and son, or father and mother, or father and parents, or son and parents, daughter and parents. You get the idea. Family missions. So what you want to do is if your mother and your father is open to do missions, you can go together. You can tell them you want to, you're going to this place and they must come with. You know, we're going to do missions in that way because there's something really beautiful, you know, in doing that. I just remember now, last December we went on mission coast to coast with the shofar band around the coast, and there was a family with us. A little guy, I think he's about 7 years old. It was amazing to see how he would go and pray for the other kids. He would go and lay hands on them and bless them. He had so much faith, you know, and to see the parents, and they're much older, they're with us. And it's just so blessed because the generations are involved. So that's the second part. And before we just go to the how part, the how do we do this, I want to explain something that is also just a part of our vision and something that God has really given us. Who's done Foundations or the Spiritual Growth series? Okay, almost most of us. Okay, we're gonna do things a bit differently in terms of our foundations. We're gonna call it something different. Esty mentioned in the announcements. We're gonna call it the Encounter series from now on. And this Wednesday, we're starting with Perspectives. And everyone is welcome to come do it again, because we're going to do it differently. We want to encourage people to invite people, because it's going to be really great. And I really want to just take the time out to explain the vision behind what's happening. What we're going to do is, we've already had a test run of this and some of you have seen it, but instead of standing here up front and giving teaching, giving information, giving the truth of Scripture, what we do is, as people come to just share of what God has done in their lives, we come to share testimonies. And then God, you know, begins to inspire people. And what this really is about is, instead of information, we're trusting for an encounter. Encounter with God and an encounter with truth. Because if you think for yourself and think about the situations where your life changed, Elaine, where God changed your life this year, sometimes it wasn't about information. It wasn't about something that you understood and then started applying. No, it was an encounter with God. And then your life changed. And sometimes your mind, your intellect followed later in understanding what happened, but you were changed. You had an encounter with God. You had a truth encounter. So that's really what we're trusting for. And just to explain the whole of the Encounter series up to Foundation 5, and it's really radical in terms of how we're doing it. If you look at some other churches, other ways of discipling, you know, you would go and sit with a book, or you would go through a procedure of discipling someone, and there would be, you know, sometimes a one-on-one, sometimes a group situation where it would be teaching. But with the Encounter series, we do things completely different. You know, where as I said, we trust for a truth encounter, but we trust in the end that, and this is sort of, you know, what it really means, is where the Holy Spirit becomes the teacher. Because that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, it's better for me to go, speaking to his disciples. He had a mentor relationship with his disciples. They were with him. They could speak to him. They could ask him questions. But he said, it's better for me to go so that I can send the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you all things, and he will lead you into all truth. So that's why we're doing foundations in the way that we're doing it. So that people can connect not to a person, but to the source. Because if you go from Cape Town, if you go into where you come from, where you're going to work, maybe up in Africa, then you are connected to a source. And not a program. And, you know, books are great. And we can often read books and we can learn from other people. But the real place where we learn is from the Holy Spirit, where he comes to impart truth to us. So now, let's look at the through. Let's look at how does this happen. How do we approach this massive vision that God has given us for nations and generations? The first one is disciple making. To make disciples. Firstly, I want to say, you are only a disciple if you have made another disciple. Did you know that? If you've walked a part in the road with God, then there's something that you can give to someone else. If you've just taken one step in knowing God, then there's something that you can give. You know, and just talking about the Holy Spirit as the teacher, there's still a place for someone just to connect you unto God. And that's why we do, at Shuffle, we do the Walking with Jesus. Where we just sit with you and we go through the truth of Scripture, connecting you to the Holy Spirit. Helping you to hear the voice of God. Helping you to into relationship. And that's just a couple of the things that I've mentioned on what it means to be a disciple. It means to hear God's voice. It means to be in relationship with the Word and to have a love for Scripture. The third thing I believe is a mark of a disciple is not only have you accepted Christ, but Christ is your Lord. Or in other words, you've submitted to Christ, His Lordship. Okay? Because you can actually hear God's voice, and you can hear His Word, and you cannot be submitted, you know, to His Lordship. And you can just think of Jesus Christ. You know, many people heard His voice, they heard the Word, some people even heard God the Father's audible voice when He spoke to Jesus, but yet they were not submitted unto Christ's Lordship. Okay, so there's a difference, and we must submit ourselves to His Lordship. The fourth thing is we must be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned, the Holy Spirit, the teacher. And then the final thing to me that defines a disciple is someone that has a function in the body of Christ. And I'm specifically saying function because, and not a relationship with the church, because, you know, God uses the symbology of a body on purpose, because being part of the body means that there's a function. You know, if you look at a human body, all the parts work together to fulfill a function. There's movement, there's things happening. Okay, so it must fulfill a function. As I mentioned in Shofar, we do the Walking with Jesus, the Encounter series, and then very importantly, Bible school. Okay, who did Bible school? Who has done Bible school? Who were blessed by Bible school? Okay, great. Now, I love what Bible school says, and Rudy's now getting very excited because we're talking about what he's passionate about. But Bible school, and I love what the slogan is of Bible school. It says, God's Word in my world. And that's really what it's about. So, you know, we're going to talk about leadership now. And I put Bible school not at leadership, but at discipleship, because everyone must apply the Word of God to your life. You must apply it to your work situation, to your social life, to every sphere and aspect of your life. That's why Bible school is so crucial, that you equip yourself in the Word to go and live what God has called you to do. So that's discipleship. And we're nearing the end now. Leadership development. That is the second part of how do we do this. Is to make leaders, to be leaders and to fulfill that position. And the first thing I want to say just regarding that is, if you want to be a leader, then put yourself in a leadership position. There's many places that you can serve in leadership roles, but speak to your leader, speak to your small group leader, speak to your zone leader, whoever it is, and say, I want to put my hand up because I want to serve as a leader. I believe God is calling me to this place. Because mainly leadership development happens in the position. Once again, you can read many books about leadership, but you only begin to apply if you do it. And so become a small group leader. You know, say, I wanna put my hand up because I wanna lead in the kingdom. I believe God is calling me to do things and to be influencing other people to follow Christ. Okay, do missions. Missions is placed, and I really want to encourage you, in terms of leadership, it happens hands-on, getting involved. And the last thing, how we reaching this vision, is church planting. Again, and when I mention this, some of you are thinking, you know, we're sending a pastor like Clint, you know, we send him, and he's the only guy because pastors go and plant churches. And that couldn't be further from the truth. If you look at the book of Acts, it wasn't just the apostles. It was everyone got involved. They were planting churches. So it's not just the apostles. It's the worship person. It's business people. It's people from every sphere of life. planting churches. That's why when Clint goes, he just doesn't just go alone, but there's a whole team in Durban that they ready and prayed up and they're excited because God is doing something. The reason, you know, and maybe you might ask, you know, but why do we plant churches? Why don't we raise up medical teams, or why don't we raise up business groups to go out and we send them to places to change the world? And obviously that's part of it, but I want to read Ephesians 1, verse 22 to 23 for you to just understand what God teaches us. And he says, at the center of all this, right at the center, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Okay, so he says Christ uses the church. He fills everything through the church with his presence. Okay, he says the church is the vehicle. So God uses every sphere of life, but church is that connection point. Church is the vehicle that he sends out his people to reach the world. Alright, so that's why we do church planting, and everyone must see themselves as fulfilling a place. And maybe where you're going, maybe God is sending you in a couple of years' time to a different place, and maybe there's no church. And you're not maybe specifically called to be a pastor, but maybe you're called to plant a church, to begin a church in the area that you're going. Church planting. Now, we're gonna just end off. I just want to pray for two specific groups of people here tonight, because I believe that God wants to just bring us to that place where we're ready for the harvest. But we're not just ready, we're in the joy of the harvest. As we started out, that we just go from that joy of salvation, but begin to embrace the harvest that God has given us. And some of you are already involved with this vision. You understand the vision, and you're walking with the vision that God has given us. And some of you, maybe you've more been on the side that you've maybe received more than what you've given. Okay, and that's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely fine, as long as that is for a season. Because the Bible says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, so there's a certain point where you only grow when you begin to participate in the things of God. And tonight I'm going to pray for both groups, because Christ has made provision for both. I'm going to read from Psalm 45 verse 15. It says, with gladness and rejoicing, they shall be brought, they shall enter the king's palace. And then Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the parable of the servants. The three servants, he comes to them, he gives them talents. He gives the one talent, he gives the other one two, he gives the other one five talents. Okay, and he comes to the first one, and the Lord says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay, some of you have been faithful in the vision, and God wants you to enter into that joy. Okay, he wants you to enter into the place of his rest. We're going to pray for that just now. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay, so some of you are going to enter into the joy of the Lord. In fact, all of us tonight are going to enter into God's joy and enter into His peace and enter into His rest. Because that's what the Bible says. It says that no longer is there a Sabbath day. No longer is there just one day of the week, but there's a Sabbath rest that we can enter into, a place of rest where even though we're busy, we still have that joy. Even though circumstances don't look great, we still have that joy. We connected to the source. But then the parable goes on. And it says in verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Okay, now, we know this parable, we know the story, we know what happened. The master was very displeased with this guy that received one talent, but he hid it. He didn't use the talent, he didn't steward the talent properly, you know, as God called him to do, as the master called him to do. And we see that the master then judges him because he didn't steward what God had given him. It's just that whole principle of stewardship. But the interesting thing that happens here is if you note there in verse 24, he says, Master, I have perceived you to be this way. Now, is God a hard master? Is he someone that reaps where he hasn't sown? Not at all. God is not like that. But then he says, after that scripture, he says, because of your perception, because you've perceived me to be hard, to be difficult, to not want to give, I'm gonna have to judge you according to that. So perception sometimes can be very powerful. Perception can be very powerful. You know, and some of us, maybe you're not involved, you're not committed to the vision that God has given us because there's a perception. There's something wrong that you perceive about God. There's something that you don't really understand that He's a good God. And He's got good gifts for you and He's got good things that He wants to give you, but on His terms. Because as I started out, there's a reward for all of us. There's a reward for the labors that we bring to God. But once again, there's a partial reward, and then there's a no reward situation. Even though you've done the good work, but God wants to give us all. That is His heart. His heart is a father. His heart is to bless, but we must come as children with the expectation that He's going to give us. That our perception must be that of a good Father. As God is, as the Word, as Scripture teaches us, He wants to give, as we've been faithful servants. Won't you please stand with me, and if the band can please come up. We're going to come to God with the expectation that He's going to give us a reward. Now, the harvest was an exciting time, if you look at Scripture. It was an exciting time where people would celebrate. It was a time where for the whole year they would work, they would labor, they would be busy with the things, you know, to keep themselves alive. But then comes the harvest time. Then it's a joyful time because now they're reaping the fruit of their work. They're reaping what they've poured their lives into. So tonight, there's two groups of people that we want to pray for. There's a group that you've said yes, and you've done the work. I believe some of us have done the work, but God wants to give you tonight the reward. He wants you to enter into His joy. Then there's a second group. A group of people that you've limited God with your perception. You've held yourself back, and you've instead gone to other rewards, to temporary rewards. Because you know what? The world also promises rewards. If we're busy with the things of the world, there are rewards. The only difference is God's rewards are eternal. The world's rewards are temporary. It's just mostly the world's rewards is an instant gratification. But afterwards you will know you're more empty than you were full. But tonight I believe God is calling some of us to partake of His harvest. To join together with Him. To yoke with Him. To yoke with Jesus. Because that is the invitation that Christ has for us. He wants us to partake with Him in bringing in the harvest. To share in His joy. To share in His excitement. Because He's excited. He's already ready. He was ready 2,000 years ago when Jesus said the harvest is ready. Just look upon the fields. They're ripe unto harvest. He sees the people. He sees the potential. He sees the life. He just wants to bring life. John 10 verse 10 says, Jesus has come to bring life and life in abundance. That's what He has for us, and He wants us to share in this harvest, in this joy, together with Him. And some of you, I felt it specifically, some of you are frustrated. And you're not experiencing that joy. You've missed the joy of your salvation, but tonight is the opportunity for you to return and say, Master, I changed my perception. Lord, come and do a rewiring, a reprogramming. Because in my mind, I know it says your word that you are good. But in my heart is not experiencing that. My heart is afar from that. So I want us to respond tonight in two groups. On the left hand side, if you want God to change your perception, you want to come to the Master. Say, Master, I surrender. Come and change me. Make me new. I want to see you in a different way. Can those people just quickly come out to the left? And I want to ask, while those people are coming out to my right hand side, if you just want to enter into God's rest, you want to enter into the joy of the harvest. You've been laboring. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're discouraged. To quickly come to the front, to my right hand. We're going to pray for you. Just respond to God. Just come to Him tonight. Just want to ask some facilitators if you can come to the front. We're going to just spend some time in ministry. I want to ask you, if you're not specifically coming forward tonight, to not get distracted, but to continue to just focus on God for a moment. Because we're going to press into His joy. Not one of us are going to leave this place tonight without receiving and walking in the place of joy in Christ. Because that's what He wants for us. That's what He purchased on the cross. His fullness of joy. Alright. I'm going to pray for the guys here on my left hand. If you can just stretch out your hands to God. Facilitators, you can stretch out your hands towards the people. You can even lay hands on the people. Lord, we just thank You for right now, just a rewiring. Some of you, there's just need to be patient. There's a facilitator going to come to you at some point. But Father, we thank You for a rewiring of hearts to align with Your Word, to align with Your truth, to align with Your way and Your will. I pray just a release of every person surrendering their perception and their hearts to You. Father, thank You for a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of being. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for newness of life. Facilitators, you can begin to pray for the people. Lord, I pray for the people here on my right. I thank You, Lord, that they can enter into the joy of the Lord. We just release Your joy. Just release the strength over Your people. Thank You that they can just submit and receive them. Submit unto You, Lord. Receive from You. And be connected to the source, connected to the wells of eternal life. The wells of Your goodness. And thank You, Lord, for those connections to happen. Thank You, Lord.